Sorry, hello everybody. As Henry said, my name's Martha and I come to church here. I'd like to start the talk today with a game. So could I have the people that I primed earlier? Don't worry if you're now too nervous to come, it's fine. Come. And I also need one more person because I've run out, I need one more volunteer. Could you come and stand in a row on the stage for me, please? Sorry? Oh, handheld mic would be useful, wouldn't it? Yes, that would be my PA husband who knows what he's talking about with mics. Whilst we get a microphone, thank you. In fact, you're the perfect person for this one. You need to say that nice and loud for me. I thought you'd know what to do. I don't know, is the handheld mic at the... thank you, sorry. There we go, that's my ineptitude. Right, what we're going to do is you've each got a piece of paper, and these people, my volunteers on the stage, are going to say a phrase, and I want you to guess who they're talking to, because we all change the way we speak depending on who it is that we are talking to. So I'd like you, in a nice loud voice...
What do we want? Justice. When we want it, now.
Who... She said... Do you want to say it again louder?
What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now.
Who do you think she is addressing with that chant? Henry? Probably Parliament, yes. I thought I'd go for a nice kind of neutral thing for her to say. Yeah, so she is a demonstrator who is on a protest somewhere who's shouting all her demands. Casey.
Who's done a stinky poo?
Thank you, that was perfect. Who do you think, who do you think he might be addressing there? Say louder, someone. A baby, we hope, yes.
Are we nearly there yet?
That sounded so practiced as well. That wasn't the first time you've said that. So who do you think she was addressing? Her parent on a very long journey. I'm sure we've all heard that this summer. Thank you so much. Do you want to pass it to Isabella? Thank you.
Turn over your papers. You have 1 hour.
Ooh. Who's she talking to? Her students, her class. Yes. Thank you, Isabella.
Offside. That was offside.
Yeah. The ref, football, anyone, I think. Just anger in that one.
Because I need my hand.
All right, here you go.
Sir, yes, sir!
Any guesses? I think you're very practiced in that, aren't you, Army? And Luke, for the last one, thank you.
Right, before I begin, forgive me all for this impression.
Oh, yeah, bring it out.
My husband, Philip, and I... would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Any guesses? Her loyal subjects. Thank you all so much. You were absolutely marvellous. Thank you. And I'm sorry. Thank you to my lovely helpers. So it is true, isn't it? When we think about it, we do change the way we're talking depending on who it is that we're actually addressing. So I just want to tell you a very quick story about something that happened a few years ago. I was sitting on a train with Alfie and we were going into London, and Luke and I pride ourselves on trying to give our children a very well-rounded musical education. And we were sitting and I was making him listen to my iPod on the way in. And could we have the music? This was the tune that I was playing him. Wasn't that one? It is good, but it wasn't that one. It'll be worth it in the end, I promise, guys. Tell me what song that was. Does anyone know? Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. And yes, we are cool parents, whatever our children say. No, fair enough. So basically, we're on the train, we're listening to that, we're sharing our little headphones on the train on the way in. I'm playing Alfie this song. We get off the train, we walk up the concourse at Victoria, and outside Boots is a man I recognise. And that man has got a very recognisable face. He's got grey hair and a ponytail, and he's looking really cool. And I suddenly realise that that man is Jimmy Page. Who can shout out who Jimmy Page is for those that don't know? He's the man who just played that song that we listened to. And I just thought, oh, this is fate. This is amazing. The man who I've literally just been playing this song to for my child is standing in front of me, and oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I'm going to go up to him and I'm going to tell him how amazing he is, and he is a rock legend and I love him and he's done such great things. And as we neared and neared and neared, and I was like, Alfie, that man, you don't understand, but he was the one who played the song that we just listened to. And as we got closer and closer and closer, I just chickened out, and I couldn't do it. I was so scared. I just thought, what if he is rude to me, or what if he doesn't want to talk to me, or what if it shatters the illusion? And I completely bottled out, and I didn't go and talk to my absolute hero. I was just too scared of what his reaction was going to be. So in the Bible reading that Ben read for us earlier, it starts off with Solomon. To give you a bit of context before the bit that Ben read us, basically Solomon was a grand opening for the new temple that had been built in the middle of Jerusalem. This temple was that Solomon had built it to glorify God, to show people how amazing God was, and to give them a tiny, tiny idea of his beauty and his amazingness. And the temple isn't there in Jerusalem anymore. It got destroyed a long time ago. The only thing that you can kind of maybe get an idea of, it was a bit like a big cathedral that we have in this country. It was full of beautiful things. It was a giant building that was really impressive when you walked into it. And unlike cathedrals we have in this country, Solomon had decided that the inside of the temple would just be gold everywhere, just gold, gold. He had covered the walls with gold. He had covered the doors with gold. He'd made gold statues of these massive winged beasts to stand around. He had made bowls that it says were 5 meters wide, that were bigger than your garden pond, that were full of water for people to purify themselves in. There, even the tiny scissors that they used to cut the wicks of all the candles to trim them, it says in the Bible, were made of gold. So it was amazing. Everything was gold inside this place. It wasn't for Solomon to show everybody how amazing he was. It was to point how amazing God was, and he'd done it for God. It wasn't a palace or anything for the king. He wanted people to walk inside this temple, and he wanted them to just gasp with the amazingness of it all when they looked around and saw the gold and the beauty and the shininess of this place that they were in. Now, in the bit just before what Ben read, what Solomon has done, so Solomon, King Solomon, the king of all the Israelites, has got down on his knees in front of all of the people and in front of God, and he has lifted his hands, and it says that he just prayed and prayed for a really, really long time. And he was there praying and praying, and then at the end, he asked God to come down. Now, the bit where Ben started reading is this. So this is what happened after he finished praying. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from the sky and burnt up the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The Lord's glory filled the temple. I mean, can you even imagine what that must have been like? There was fire. There was God's glory everywhere. There were people falling over. There were priests literally face down in the mud because it was just all too much. There wouldn't have been a person there that day who witnessed that who would not have been assured of how powerful and how big and how awesome God is. But as I said, that temple was destroyed a really long time ago and we can't go there anymore. And we're not in a cathedral, we're in our lovely church here. And actually sometimes, if we're not surrounded by all this stuff, it can kind of be easy to forget that when we are praying, when we're talking to our God, our Heavenly Father, that He is actually also the King of the universe. He created the planets in His hands and He threw them into space. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy for me to forget that when I'm praying. And He's not like Jimmy Page. He's not like someone who might reject us and be horrible to us because He's so amazing and great. He's the opposite of that. He's someone we can come to, even though He is this incredible, even though He sent fire down, even though He created the universe. He is approachable, but we need to remember who He is. So what helps us to remember how important and powerful God is when we talk to Him? Can I have the first slide up, please, Mike? Thank you. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy finding God in nature. Who saw any of the thunderstorms we had this summer when it got really, really hot? Did anybody see any of those? They were incredible, weren't they? And I do quite like staying up, even if it's like super late at night, and just kind of hearing the bangs and seeing the crashes. Is it not coming up? That's okay, don't worry. Thank you. And this is a brilliant picture we found. And I don't know about you, but I really love that moment where it's really dark and the anticipation is rising and then suddenly, crack, it's suddenly brighter than day and the lightning comes and you hear the boom and you suddenly remember how powerful you are not compared to this amazing storm. And I love lightning pictures that are, that kind of you can see the vastness of it compared to well-known buildings. This is a picture of the London Eye in London, which is massive. And we're all very impressed with the people that made it, but it is nothing compared to the power of God in a thunderstorm. Could I have the next slide up, please? Sorry, I'll give a bit of background whilst you're doing that, don't worry. When Luke and I first got married, our in-laws lived in a city called Turin, which is in the north of Italy, and it's quite near the mountains in Italy. And when we used to go there, Turin is kind of, it's a city and it kind of sits in a big dip in between lots of hills. And Luke's parents lived on one side of these hills. And you could kind of look over the city when you used to go outside and look out the window of their house. And we used to see, and also Turin is a city that's really industrial. It's got loads of factories in it that create a lot of smog and smoke. And it's really difficult, thank you. The smog sometimes hangs in the air and it's really difficult to kind of see all the way across because it is quite foggy and smoggy. You can kind of see it gets a bit hazy in the background there. So this is the view across the city of Turin, similar-ish to the one that I would see from my in-law's window. And my in-laws would talk about how the mountains were over there and I'd be like, oh, okay, cool, the mountains are over there, and didn't really think about it. And then one day there must have been a storm or something in the night because the smog had all cleared. And can I get the next slide up? Yes! This was what we saw when we still looked out the window the next day. And I don't mind telling you that I looked out the window and saw that and my stomach just went gong into my shoes because suddenly I felt very small compared to this wall of rock that was suddenly in front of me that I swear was not there the day before. And yeah, suddenly, if you want to feel really insignificant, that is quite an interesting experience. And can I get the last slide up, please? Oh, thank you. This was a picture that we took on our summer holiday this year. Those are me and my children. Yeah, that's me and my children, if you can make us out, in the sea. And I don't know about you, who went to the seaside at any point this summer holiday? Yes, the classic. And I just love standing on the sand and looking out and just kind of, I mean, again, if you want to feel small and insignificant, look out at the ocean and look at it just endless going on into the distance. And yeah, to give you a perspective on how great God is and how small we are, it's quite an amazing sight, isn't it? Thank you for those. Another thing that helps me, certainly, when I'm praying, to remember who God is and who I am, is just my body language. So sometimes when we pray, we bow our heads. And actually, if we're able, we kneel. Now, I've got this. This was a present that I got for my birthday this year, which is a traditional church kneeler that my friend got me, which I absolutely love. You can also use a cushion. And I really, when I pray at home now, it's amazing because I've been starting to use this kneeler, which is such a small thing. It's just a cushion to put your knees on, isn't it? But the act of getting on your knees when you're praying suddenly reminds you that you are God's servant and you need to do what he asks. And just that kind of moving your body in a way that is humble can really help us remind ourselves how amazing God is. And the words we use are also really important. The earlier game that we played, like, we change the way we talk to people depending on who they are, don't we? And especially if you want to show them some respect. And actually, so what's the, can someone tell me what the most famous prayer in the Bible is? Lord's Prayer. And what are the first two lines of that prayer? In heaven, hallowed be your name. Exactly, thank you. And actually, Jesus' suggestion to us when we pray is to call God by his name, our Father in heaven, and say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means holy and special. And Jesus' advice is to, right at the start, just remind ourselves who he is and who we are. We are his children and he is our holy God. We talk with respect. Now, just finally, I'm going to read. So verse 14, the final verse that we read earlier. Then if my people who are called by my name are sorry for what they have done, if they pray and obey me and stop their evil ways, I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, we are humans and God is God. And as humans, we mess up. And the Bible calls it sin. And we do stuff that we know God didn't want us to do. And we know that when we talk to God, one of the other first things we need to do is admit that. And that's something that God is asking Solomon to do in that passage. We need to admit that when we talk to God, and we need to start with a clean slate. So I want to finish up today by challenging you all to do something this week that reminds you how great and powerful our God is when we pray. And whether that's lighting a candle when you pray, whether that's walking along the street and looking up at the sky and the clouds as you pray. It might be that you sign up to come into the 24/7 week that we're doing. There's loads of different ways that you can come and pray this week. And we're hoping that this space will be one where you can come in and gasp at the glory of God's presence here as we pray this week. So I'm just going to finish and pray for us before the band comes up. Lord, thank you for how great and powerful you are. And please, can you help us to be inspired this week to worship you even more? Amen.